This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis in chapters 40 and 41, picking up with interpretations belong to God, the baker's dream, Pharaoh's dream, Joseph finally remembered, and the dreams are one. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. A reading from 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not overlook the one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief,
and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's now been about 4 years since Dr. Mays preached his sermon on the conflagration, and so most of you students probably have not actually ever heard it, but it was really a fantastic sermon, and he taught us some important things about the conflagration. Conflagration, if you don't know, is a word that means a great and disastrous fire of destruction. It's the word that is used in the Christian tradition to refer to what Peter is talking about in today's reading, the burning up and the dissolving of creation by fire. The original creation was brought forth with water and the word, but now the heavens and the earth as they exist are being stored up for fire, where all will be dissolved before the coming in of the new heavens and the new earth and the new kingdom. I commend this sermon to you if you have the opportunity, December 3rd, 2021. You can find it at the media site. But I want to, instead of focusing on the details of what a conflagration is today, which you can find in his sermon, to talk a little bit about what St. Peter calls us to be and what he calls us to think of and how he calls us to act in view of the coming conflagration, in viewing of the coming Day of God, as he calls it. And he draws our attention to one fact. He says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved. And what is this fact that he wants to draw our attention to? It is that the Lord is not, in fact, slack or slow in fulfilling his promises. The Lord, in fact, is carrying out and fulfilling his promises as each day goes along, as each week, as each year goes along. And in fact, in the Lord's mind, whether it is 1,000 years or one day is not as significant as his long suffering. In his long suffering, he desires that all would repent, that none would perish. And so he is not counting the days, he is not looking to some particular date, but he is in fact in patience, awaiting for his word to continue to go forth, to continue to do its work, and to continue to bring all the nations of the earth to repentance and to faith. The Lord is not slack or slow concerning his promise, but he in fact desires that all would be saved. And this is what he is looking for. He is looking that his promise would be fulfilled through his word, through repentance, and through salvation and rescue from the day of judgment. And so it is that St. Peter calls us not to overlook this fact, that it is in fact the Lord's long suffering that is behind or foundational to the continuation of this world, and not some concern about a particular date or length of days. So consider, as the Lord is long suffering, that this kingdom, this earth, this creation will continue up until the point that he determines is best for the repentance of all people. And so it is that we are not to lose heart, we are not to forget about the compassion and the long-suffering of the Lord, and we are not to fall into temptations. There are, in fact, a couple temptations that might approach us, that we might be susceptible to if we forget about the long-suffering of the Lord and we just begin to think about the time that is upon us. On the one hand, we might begin to despair of our own salvation. We might think, where is the coming of the Lord? He promised that he would return, and yet it has been hundreds, it has been thousands of years since this promise, and still we do not see him. Instead, we see around us the distress of the nations. We see the rise and fall of various earthly powers. We see natural disasters and various kinds of social collapse around us. And so we may look at this and despair that there is going to be salvation. We may begin even to think that this disaster, this tumult, this collapse around us is in fact a kind of judgment in itself. But this is not the judgment. Our Lord makes this very clear, in fact, in the Gospels when he reminds us that when you see these things beginning to happen, do not despair, but in fact straighten up and lift up your heads, for your salvation is at hand. And so it is, we are not to despair in view of the turmoil and the collapse and the disaster that we see around us, but we are in fact to look to the one who does provide hope, to who does provide stability, and has in fact promised our redemption. And so we can straighten up with a faithful confession and lift up our eyes in prayer to continue to call upon him to be long-suffering and to bring about his kingdom at the due time, and to keep us also steadfast in our faith. The second temptation could be that we might be lulled into complacency as the Gentiles are, as the nations are. They might say, and we could be tempted to say this as well, everything is continuing the way it has since the beginning of creation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, St. Peter reminds us, people were eating, people were drinking, people were marrying, people were giving in marriage, and suddenly then they were overcome by the flood and brought to destruction. In their complacency, they thought that there would be no judgment. They thought that there was no God, in fact, looking down upon the world and seeing the sin and the destruction and the tumult and the collapse of mankind as though he had no concern. But in fact, our Lord does have concern, and he brings about a judgment that is borne by his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, whom he set forth as a propitiation, whom he set forth as the one to bear the wrath and judgment of God, so that we would not, in fact, have to suffer that. And so it is that he calls us to repentance and calls us to remember and to recall and to be steadfast in our repentance and in our faith, that we would not be lulled into complacency. And so it is we should watch out for at least these two temptations, that we not despair of our salvation nor be lulled into a kind of complacency to think that things will continue on forever. Indeed, the judgment for those who are of the household of faith has already begun, our Lord tells us. And it is a good judgment. It is a judgment of forgiveness. It is a judgment of purification from sin. This is, in fact, what justification means, to be judged righteous. And so it is that with all of the tumult, with all of the turmoil, with all of the collapse occurring around us, with whatever temptations may be set before us, which we may be tempted to follow after, we can again remember to straighten up and to lift up our eyes to see our salvation and remember that the judgment has already begun in the household of God, a judgment of mercy, of forgiveness, and of purification and reconciliation. And this is the judgment, the long suffering that our Lord desires for all. And so it is that we also now ought to live in this manner, as those who have received the mercy of God, have received the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we also would look upon others with compassion. St. Peter asks us rhetorically, what kind of people should we be in view of this coming judgment, in view of the fact that God is also long-suffering? And he says, we should look for and expect the day of his coming with all repentance and faith. But he also says something interesting. He says that we ought to hasten the day of the Lord. Now, how is it that we are to hasten the day of the Lord? It is, I think, in the things that we have already considered, in faithful confession, in prayer, and in doing the kinds of works that will help to bring about and maintain repentance among all people. Notice when St. Peter talks about the destruction of creation, when he talks about the conflagration, what is going to be destroyed? Everything of creation is to be destroyed, the heavens, the earth, the elements. But then he has this odd phrase here. It says that the works on the earth will be exposed. Now, it is true that some manuscripts continue the theme of destruction. They say that the works on the earth will be destroyed. But I think we can actually understand these things together by what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, when he talks about how our works will be tested by fire. And our works will be tested by fire, and those that pass the judgment, if you will, those that are judged to be righteous, that pass this test, are purified and refined like gold, and they will endure into eternity. Whereas all other works that don't pass the test will be burned up. And so it is, there are works that we have done that will come to naught. They will be destroyed along with the creation. But there are works that are done that will last into eternity. And so what are those works? Those are the works that St. Peter wants us to do, that he wants us to attend to as we be the people of holiness and godliness awaiting the day of God. These are works, I would say, that look for and hasten the day of God. As our Lord himself is long-suffering, desiring that none would perish, but that all come to repentance, so our works should give expression to that. We also, in long-suffering, in compassion, should speak the word of God so that others would repent, so that they would turn away from their sin, that they would be redeemed out of their destruction and judgment. Our work should be such that we should take hold of the word of God, even ourselves, that we would be kept and strong and strengthened in the faith because of the way the word continues to work in our life through repentance and faith. And also, finally, in whatever our estate is, in whatever our vocations may be in this life, in the family, as husbands, as wives, as fathers, mothers, as children, as those who teach, as those who learn, as those in the church, as pastors, as laity who hear the word of God, and finally those in society who work to govern and bring order to this world, even if for a temporary time, and those who subject themselves to such political leaders. Whatever it is that your vocation is, your works should be those that seek after repentance and faith, through faithful teaching, if that be your calling, through faithful confession, as that is your calling, and through other works that demonstrate a kind of godliness and reverence to the word of God. And so it is that these are the kind of works that St. Peter calls us to. Finally, at some point, when the long suffering of Christ is complete, and the repentance of all the elect is complete, then will come the day of judgment, the day of God, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be a judgment for us, not according to wrath, but according to his mercy. And indeed, after this heaven and earth burn up, there will be a new heaven and earth, a new kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, where every word, where every confession, where every work is, in fact, a work of righteousness that will endure forever, according to the strength and power of our Lord Jesus. So I do not want you to overlook this one fact, dearly beloved, that our Lord is not slack or slow in keeping his promises. He has atoned for you. He has atoned for the sin of the world. And in his long suffering, he desires that none would fall into judgment, but that all would repent. So you too work the works of repentance, and so hasten the day of redemption. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth, and of our seas.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Eternal God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us your Holy Spirit, who writes the preached word into our hearts. May we receive and believe it, and be cheered and comforted by it in eternity. Glorify your word in our hearts, and make it so bright and warm that we may find pleasure in it. Through your Holy Spirit, think what is right, and by your power, fulfill the word, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son,
that you have fed me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my dreams and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.